Blog Talk Radio.
This is Bob Barber, your host here at SATTT, and that stands for Second Tech Tribe, or Second Amendment Tech Tribe. You know, we have a slogan, and it is BRADTI. As Bravo Romeo Alpha Tango, Alpha Delta Tango India, be realistic and do the impossible. Be sure to have a pen and paper to write the cases and laws mentioned in the sixth of six consecutive contract pre-recorded law classes for tribal courts with the instructor, Judge Naidu. Now, for those of you who have a computer and you don't desire to speak with the host, you can go to secure.blogtalkradio.com/signup to register for a listener account in order to be able to participate in a chat conversation. Now, you are invited to make Indian Country America a wonderful place to live and work for you and your family, with untold opportunities to create wealth. Just email us at naljc.clerkofcourt@gmail.com or knowledgevillageada@gmail.com. If you are labeled an undocumented alien, the cause of justice and the rule of law are always available to get you practical and genuine relief. Real, genuine, viable, measurable, ecclesiastical, and tribal jurisdiction through our tribal government has to be promoted, where freedom and liberty literally come alive. Best regards, Judge Dr. Navin C. Naidu, Doctor of Law. Sat Radio particular time is a daily show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Our guest call-in number, there are two of them. The first one is 516-387-1497. The second one, which was given today, is 563-999-3083. So if you can't get through using the other number, use this newer number. And you can get our archives by going to blogtalkradio.com/satradio. Okay? So if anyone has any particular questions or answers or comments or would just like to make a suggestion, go ahead and speak. You, all of you, are on the air. There we go. Got rid of the noise there. Anybody have any comment they want to make?
Yes.
All right.
What was that
new number, the new call-in, guest call-in number is 563-999-3083. An email was sent to all Blog Talk Radio hosts for their shows. They're all given, including Sat Radio, a new guest call-in number. So the other one still works. The 516-387-1497 still works until December 1st. So after that date, everyone will have to start calling in using the 563-999-3083 number. You got that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Trying to find out where that noise is coming from here. I'll find it. Okay, got it. Anyone else like to make a comment or have a question at all? Just press 1. Wait a couple more seconds here and see if there's anybody else coming in. I was expecting the judge, but I don't see him yet. You'd like to ask a question or you have a comment?
Yes, could you repeat that future telephone number again, please?
Yes, beginning December 1st, you can call in at 563-999-3083. That's 563-999-3083.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Now, I encourage each and every one of you, if you have not signed up for the Monetize COLB program, please do so. We need, 15,000, what do I have here? 653 more people to sign up. I know it sounds like a lot, but it really isn't a lot, if you really think about it. But we need them in. I'd like to get my payout. I'm sure everybody else already in the program would like to get the payout, too, as soon as possible. But I understand also that it'll be 3 or 4 months after payout begins that we'll actually start getting our payout. I believe so that we can build reserves for the next payout. That's what I understand. So if you haven't signed up, please do sign up and get registered, get into that Monetize COLB program. You know, $2 million a year for 50 years, nothing to sneeze at. It's a nice income. It'd be very nice to do things you'd ever wanted to do. You could do them with that kind of money. Anybody disagree with me? I guess not. I don't see any question marks coming up here. So all of you must agree with me. Yeah, that'd be nice. I would love to see money once in my life. Yeah, Lori. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's a nice idea that the judge took his time to want to do that for people.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
I think
he goes
all the way out for people, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
But people are not going out for him. That's what the judge is complaining about. He's making all these programs available, but nobody's doing anything. And that's a shame. That's a shame. You know, all we need is, 653 more people, and we have the payout for the next 50 years. And then about 1,000 of us get together and put in $100,000 apiece. We can start our own PPP. Can you imagine the monies you will have throughout the coming years? Truly unbelievable that be in your own PP with 1,000 others instead of 20,000. You know, so, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. You know, we can always put money together and tell the judge we'd like to have a PPP. And he'll get one started. You know, I figure putting in 100,000 wouldn't kill us. You know, we're getting 2 million a year. 100,000, say, once a year, you can have continuous PPPs going. And that's beautiful. And, of course, you'd have a whole lot more money than the one we're in now. $2 million, you could be doing, I'd say, within a five-year period of time, you could be bringing in about $10 million a year, maybe more than that, $20-30 million by being in four or five PPPs with a great, a whole lot more money to operate with, okay? That's a little secret about PPPs. The more money you put in, the more you're going to get out. All right, so I guess nobody wants to say anything, you know, contradict me. All right, so let's go ahead and start this six consecutive contracts, this one being the second part of the implicit contracts we listened to last night. So this will be the second part.
Hello. Good morning. Yes.
Hello,
Jed. Hello. So far, so good, huh?
Yes, it's about the law class's progress. Yes, great.
Okay. Now, before I start off on a very important topic, Article 1, Section 10, are there any questions based on the last few sessions we've had? Anyone facing any particular problem? Because the next one is going to be quite an interesting topic.
Okay.
If nobody has any questions, we can move on.
Okay.
Usually when I say let's move on, there'll be two questions. Ah, I'm wrong. Good. Okay. Article 1, Section 10, United States Constitution. Today we're going to look at the law, statutory law, constitutional law, case law, to see if you have a contract. Now, the last time, spirited debate we had was whether we have an implied contract or an express contract with the government, we the people. And a lot of you said, some said express, some said implied. Well, let me ask you this question. I do get the privilege of asking questions too, you know. Your Bill of Rights, how many amendments are there in your Bill of Rights?
10.
Good. Now, if you look at your Bill of Rights, and we went over that some time ago, correct?
Yes.
If you look at the Bill of Rights, it's that those 10 amendments, it's all about the people and the government. It's all about what the government can do and cannot do. Now, here when I say government, I'm talking about the executive, the Congress, that is the legislature, and the judiciary. Now, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So they cannot say, Congress cannot say Islam or Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or Taoism or Zainism or Zoroastrianism is the official religion of the country. Okay, Congress here means the House of Representatives and the Senate sitting in Washington, D.C. Let me ask you a question. Can the states make a law respecting an establishment of religion?
No.
Huh? Interesting, huh?
Right.
Congress here means the central government. The central government can make no law. Shall make no law. It's not may, it's shall. Shall means hell. You can't make.
mandatory, not discretionary. Do you all get that?
Yes.
Yes.
But what's stopping
from respecting an establishment of religion? Who can give me an example of a state that respects an establishment of religion?
Utah.
Thank you. So you see, the central government has some powers. And the state government has other powers. Now, if you look at the 10th Amendment, powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. This is how Utah entrenched Mormonism into the state of Utah. Are you with me?
Yes.
See? Tribal government, is that a religion?
No.
No.
Come on, folks.
No.
Is it a religion?
Religion is any set of beliefs.
Thank you. Definition of religion. The belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power. A personal god or gods. Next definition, a particular system of faith and worship. I've always maintained that a tribal government is a religion because of the third definition of religion. A pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance, like consumerism is the new religion.
Mm-hmm.
So, a tribal government is a religion. Again, folks, IDEA, identify. What is the issue here? Is a tribal government a religion? D, let's define religion. Usually people associate religion with faith in God or faith in a superhuman controlling power. But one of the definitions of religion is a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. Now, I ascribe supreme importance to a tribal government and to an ecclesiastical government because of Public Law 97280. So is a tribal government a religion? Yes, because of the definition of religion. One of the definitions, a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. It's supremely important to me that I'm a member of a tribal government because I need no driver license. I need no insurance papers. I don't need to have a decal from the DMV. I paid for my car. Who the devil are they to register my car? Makes sense.
Yep.
So, mark it down. A tribal government is a religion, a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. So, back to the back of the bus. Meanwhile, back at the back of the bus. If you have a contract with a tribal government or with your church or with an ecclesiastical court or with the militia or with the tribal police or with the constitutional police, and if you have taken an oath of allegiance, we'll just call it, we wouldn't want to call it an oath, we'll just call it an affirmation of allegiance. Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says, no state shall impair the obligation of a contract. What is the meaning of impair? To weaken or damage something. So no state shall weaken or damage the obligation of a contract between a tribal member and his tribal government. No state shall impair the obligation, weaken, dampen, destroy, diminish the power of a contract between an enrolled tribal member or a church member to his church. If he says, my vehicle is registered to my tribal government or to the church, 97280. Heck, the first few years in Washington State, my number plate said public law 97280. Cop stopped me one day and said, what is that supposed to mean? I told him, here's a copy of the federal law. He said, you owe me $250. Then he said, why? I said, I just gave you legal advice. I'm a lawyer. And he looked brilliantly stupid, you know, the SM look, standard moron look. Because you stopped me and asked me, what's that? And I just told you, public law 97280. So, the supreme law of the land, Article 6, Section 2, you've got the Constitution in front of you, says the Constitution and the laws and all treaties made or that shall be made shall be the supreme law of the land. So the supreme law of the land says no state, meaning none of the 50 states, shall impair the obligation of a contract. Hawaii, I've been telling the king, King Edmund, you got a contract with your people. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. Oh, hallelujah, I'm going to make you my attorney general. I said, okay, but do you know what I just told you? You got a contract with your people. Oh, yeah, man. They told me a lot about you, Judge. So I'm now the Attorney General. And guess what? They have done 3/5 of nothing. They joined NATO as well. NATO, not North Atlantic Treaty Organization. No action, talk only. Which we have become very good at. Hawaii is a perfect example. 1993, they fired off an apology resolution and made it a federal law. And everybody thought, oh, here comes freedom. Look at the last section of the apology.
Yeah, very well.
It says, yes? Someone has something to say? The last part of the Constitution, I mean, the last part of the so-called part of the apology resolution says, this apology does not constitute a reclamation or redemption of your rights. So the King of Hawaii has made a contract with the people to restore the kingdom, the state of Hawaii can do nothing. It's as simple as that. But they decided to join NATO. They're still talking. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. So now you got a problem with your mortgage and they sue you and then you counter-sue them for fraud. Right? Then you sue them in a state court. But the law says no state shall impair the obligation of a contract. In other words, if you're suing the bank, the state should not take your case. The superior court of your state cannot say, yes, we will give you a case number, and yes, we will go to trial, because that contravenes Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. So why is the superior court of your county of San Diego or county of whatever taking on your mortgage fraud case? So do we have a supreme law of the land, or do we have a supreme flaw, F-L-A-W? So what do we have here? Interesting, isn't it? How banks, judges, lawyers, governors, attorneys general violate the United States Constitution, and yet the president places his hand, one hand on the Bible, I think, one hand on his chest and the other hand on the Constitution. Or is it three hands? I mean, how many hands does he have? What does the president of the United States do when he takes his oath of office? You take your oath of office with one hand on the Bible? Oh, I thought you said church and state are separate. So that's a lie. Oh, you took an oath on the Bible. Bible says you shall not take an oath. Oath taking is not allowed in the Bible. Oh, 97:280 makes the Bible the word of God. So the president took an oath on the very book that says thou shalt not bear false witnesses. So Article 1, Section 10, ladies and gentlemen, is a standing joke. If it helps the government, they will use it. If it helps the people, you lose. Has anybody heard of the constitutional avoidance doctrine? Hello, talk to me.
Yes, the judge.
No,
judge.
No, judge.
Yes, I have.
Yes. The judge will specifically not address the Constitution.
See, these monkeys have come up with all kinds of doctrines, man-made, judgment doctrines, where this doctrine of constitutional avoidance tells the court, usually a federal court, that it should refuse to rule on a constitutional issue if the issue can be resolved on a non-constitutional basis. But then the Constitution is the supreme law of the land.
Yeah.
Not only that, it says it's the supreme law of the land. Not only that, it says it's the supreme law of the land. And besides, it says it's the supreme law of the land. The court will not pass upon a constitutional question, although properly presented by the record, if there is also present some other ground upon which the case may be disposed of. Ashwender versus Tennessee Valley Authority, 1936. And I believe this constitutional avoidance doctrine stems or flows from the so-called canon of judicial self-restraint, where their job is to apply the law. But what if the law is unconstitutional? or if the law is repugnant to the Constitution, Marbury v. Madison, power of judicial review. It was not the brainchild of John Marshall, Chief Justice John Marshall, 1803 to 1833, U.S. Supreme Court. It was the Federalist number 71 or 77 that talked about Alexander Hamilton, wrote about judicial review. So we got to look at this very carefully. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract, yet it is part of the supreme law of the land. If you bring this matter up to look at this issue through the lens of the Constitution, the judge can turn around and say that the constitutional avoidance doctrine does not allow me to rule on this question because it is bordering, or it is a question of a constitutional interpretation, and we will not go there. So that's how beautifully they can avoid this. There was a question typed out. Can a corporation, a trust, a foundation, LLC, etc., obtain tribal status or just an individual? Answer is yes. Revenue ruling 94-16. Section 17 of the Indian Reorganization Act says a corporation shall be taxed, a tribal corporation shall be tax exempt. So yes, an individual, a foundation, a tribal corporation can obtain tribal status. And the leading statute or leading finding on that is revenue ruling 94-16. Let me type it out there for you. 94-16 tribal corporations are tax exempt. There you go. And for individuals to be tax exempt, see Revenue Ruling 67-284, Section 5, V, Roman V. It's on our websites anyway.
Right, it's on the tribal law file section.
Yes. Okay, moving on. You go buy a car, then you find out something has gone wrong, and then you sue them. Why should the court take on your case? Because Article 1, Section 10 says no state shall impair the obligation of a contract. The point I'm trying to make here is, folks, do you want to be in this jurisdiction where there are conflicting theories of safety and security? Why would you want to be part of a system that does not know whether it's coming or going? Why do you want to be part of a system that says one thing on a Monday and changes its mind on a Tuesday to your detriment? Why? Why would you want to be part of the system? Now, I have put out the GTH letter, GTH LMA letter. I don't know how many of you have sent it out, but I would very seriously advise you to send it out and keep proof that you sent it out and keep proof that some monkey received it there, and carry a copy of that in your car, on your person, all the time. And don't look for a wallet size copy as well. Carry it with you to tell them, whoever it is, that you have no contract with the state, which means you will not break or violate their laws. The moment you violate or break their laws, you have chosen to contract with the government. I keep on saying this. Speed limit, it says 80. Moment you do 85, 82, 83, you've elected to contract with them. So please, don't bring those kind of cases to me because you chose to contract with them. Yeah? Read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, very carefully. The moment you walk out of God's protection, you go into man's protection, which is, it's a fine city. You pay a fine. Every city in America is a fine city. You pay a fine. They collect revenue. Be very careful how you intend to deal with these people. All right? So Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution is a standing joke. It's an invitation and a motivation for you to literally walk away from that jurisdiction. You have nothing to do with that jurisdiction. You may live in that jurisdiction, but you're living in Indian country. Geeta had a question. Did I use what codes with that? I don't understand. What did you mean, Geeta? Did you use Skype with those codes? Oh, I typed it to another individual who typed it on his email. I'll type it here. Revenue RR X exempt tribal corporations 284 section 5 tax exempt individuals and all tribal members. Okay, so revenue ruling 9416 is tax exempt. It's on our what website is that, Tom? Where is it? We've mentioned this several dozen times. It's all there.
The tribal laws, triballaws.tk/files.
Yeah, tribal law, two L's, tribal and law.
Right. Okay.
So, Article 1, Section 10, U.S. Constitution is literally telling you walk away from that jurisdiction. Now, we go, are there any questions so far before I move on?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
What the farm that you was talking about, where is that located, and what's the name of it again?
The what?
The farm that you was talking about, the show, that you're not under this jurisdiction. What, it was G something.
The GTHKMA?
Oh, no, that's a letter in the file section that you send to everybody.
The letter of rescission of contract with the state government. I call it GTHLMA. Go to hell, leave me alone letter.
Oh, okay.
That's what it means. Yeah. I mean, what? You're born And then you grow up, you're forced to go to school, you're forced to get a driver license, you're forced to do this, you're forced to do that. You don't have a contract with them. So why are you doing what you're doing?
I see. Okay, okay. So, and that will be found in the tribal law area.
No, you go to that website that was just posted on the tribal law web chat. What do you call that? What do you call that? Chatterbox, chat box. What do you call that?
Skype.
I'm not in Skype.
I'm not in Skype.
I never was given this Skype address.
My fault.
I don't know it.
My fault. I am assuming you're on Skype. Go to tribalaw.tk.files and then look at RISIN contract with state federal dot doc.
Okay.
Now, when you get that, pass it to 1,000 people that you may know. Okay?
Okay.
Pass it to as many people as you know. We are not charging for it. It's free of charge. Send it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Jill, Jane, and Joe. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know how to download that file, right?
Go to tribal law, the tribalaw.tk, and you say it'll be...
Slash files.
Slash any files area, right.
Okay, I think next time when you come online, you may want to come on Skype.
Yeah, I do, but I don't know the Skype address.
Go to the Contact Us page on the tribalaw.tk site, and it will give you links to the Facebook group and to the Skype group.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right. All right, I'll do that.
Okay. All right. Now... Any other questions? Any other concerns?
Judge Jason, now we know that we are in Indian country, and the our illustrious civil servants like to play the word. Oh, you have to be certified as a tribe or a person of the tribes. What I'd like, for example.
Tell him.
What's going on with this government that they won't even recognize people like the tribes in Connecticut who's been...
So why are you recognizing them? Why are you recognizing them and engaging yourself in a conversation with some monkeys? Why are you recognizing them? Why are you photographing them? Why are you going to their court? Why? The moment you show yourself in front of their officers, they will think... Oh, you want to contract with me? Good. I can wrestle you to the ground. I can throw handcuffs on you. That's why I've got the GTH LMA rescission of contract letter. You write to them and say, I'm done with you. And don't give them an opportunity to come looking for you.
Well, then you're on the run.
I didn't say that. You said that.
No, I said,
listen very carefully, Jason. I said, don't go to their jurisdiction. I said, leave their jurisdiction. Where did I use the word run or flee?
Well, if you leave the how do you leave the jurisdiction?
The jurisdiction. You crawl out of their jurisdiction. You take a bus. You take a train. You walk. I didn't say run, did I? Said run. I am telling you, I'm telling all of you, you have no right to contract with them. So if you have no right to contract with them, no privilege to contract with them, you are duped into contracting with them, I am telling you, leave their jurisdiction. Walk away.
And you do that by sending the letter.
You do that by sending their letter. Now, if you think they will come after you, leave the jurisdiction. I did not say run.
Well, how do you leave the jurisdiction?
I just told you, walk, crawl, take a bus, take a train, don't take your vehicle. What's the problem, Jason?
The problem is it's perplexing. Because again, if you don't, I sent out my letter to everyone. Their attitude is that you don't recognize the paper.
Apply directly to what we do with Connie.
Okay, so if they don't want to recognize your paper or your GTH LMA letter, why are you recognizing them? You've told them, as a good neighbor, good fences make good neighbors, in the words of Justice Louis Brandeis. You're telling them, hey, I don't want to be in your jurisdiction. Bye. You don't have to wait for them to acknowledge the fact that you are rescinding the contract. You have informed them. That's it. You have invoked your right to inform them. Now, leave that jurisdiction. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to use the word run or flee, that's up to you. All I said is leave their jurisdiction, like what I did.
And
one idiot asked me, oh, are you hiding in Hong Kong? I said, what is your definition of hiding? If I'm hiding in Hong Kong, why would I have my photograph on my web page? Why would I have phone numbers? Why would I have addresses? What are you, an idiot? And he says, oh, you can't call me an idiot. I told him I can call you an idiot till the cows come home. What kind of a question is that? I chose to leave their jurisdiction. I don't want to live in America. Yeah, judge, it's easy. You know, you got money and, you know, you need money? You need money for what? There you are fighting the stupid taxation system. Because Article 16, the Constitutional Amendment 16 says income wherever derived. I work for you for 1 hour. You pay me $200. I've exchanged $200 for 1 hour of my labor. What is the income? What income? What income? There was an outcome of labor, and there was an income of $250 an hour. That's not income. It's exchange. Yeah. Question. There was a question. What if they continue to hold court in your absence and dismiss the case in the other's favor? Well, answer to that question, don't you have a case pending or ongoing in a tribal court? We give them 21 days.
Yes.
They don't answer, you've got a judgment.
I'd like to be able to... I know it was sent out by Aiden. I don't know. I haven't received a copy in my email. Is that possible to get a copy?
Sent out what?
The judgment that was sent out a couple of days ago.
No, it was an order to show court. Order to show cause, which Tom has sent out for you.
It was sent out yesterday to all the defendants and the federal officials.
Okay, Tom, just send him a copy of what you said.
I didn't see my email today, so sent that today. Now look.
Oh, I'm sorry, my fault. Okay, Antoine Smith, even trade no ROI? You mean rate of return on... What did you mean by ROI, Antoine?
A letter of intent?
Return on investment. That's where your income truly comes in. is not what you said was exactly correct. But income is based off return on. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Be very, very careful using words like investment and income. Because these monkeys don't understand what it means to be an accredited investor.
Right.
So when you use the word investment and income, you are walking into their jurisdiction.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because one time I told the SEC when I was running an insurance plan for a church with 4.5 million people who had no insurance. We had an insurance program, $99. Vision, dental, medical, auto, everything, including legal. And then the state shut me down. And the SEC said, but this is an investment. I told him I'm an accredited investor. And they asked me, what do you mean? I told him Regulation D, Section 501, that's a law you guys made. It took them 1 week to figure out that they made the law saying that if you're worth more than $5 million, you don't need to register to be an investment advisor or an accredited investor. All right?
Okay.
So be very careful with rate or return on investment. See, I haven't used that term in 30 years, so I was a bit blindsided. You don't want to use that word ROI.
Okay.
You want to, if you want to use the word ROI, return on intelligence or return on information.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so to the to Shirley, when you said, what if they continue to hold court in your absence? So what? You got a judgment in your hand when we do the order to show cause. The only challenge right now is to find a collections attorney. That's something I cannot get involved in because I'll be accused of being at arm's length. I'm the guy who issued the judgment. Now I'm finding you a collections attorney. They will think the judge is connected to this. He's getting a little cut here and there. And you know I'm not, because I don't have such a contract with anybody. Right? Any other questions, concerns? How many do we have today?
Let me put my glasses on.
Uh-oh.
Wow, that's hay fever did that to me. Okay, 24.
24. Good number. Any other questions, folks?
Not so much a question. I need Tom. Tom, I need your phone number. I had it and I misplaced it.
What do you want?
This your phone number.
402-403-1788.
Okay. 1788. Let's move on. Okay, Sandy had an interesting statement. So, if one of us was an attorney specializing in collections, why not? That's what this is all about. We're training you. But we got to have a tribal police so we are able to go and seize a boat, seize a car, seize a building, or do a till-tap, or seize the CEO of the bank and throw him in prison. We still don't have a police force. How many do we have today, Paul, signed up? Shirley Stewart. It's Mr. Paul Murray here. Not online. Okay. So what do we have by way of tribal police so far?
Judge, this is Shirley. I will make sure you get that information by Skype today.
Okay. I meant to hear from Percy. All right. We'll just move on.
We do have some procedures we need to speak. I think I have about 3 days to take in the application.
Now, let's talk about the Uniform Commercial Code.
Oh, yippee.
Now, you've got to make a choice. Do you want to contract? Do you want to do whatever you want to do under tribal law, ecclesiastical law, or their law? You need to make up your mind. Because if you choose to contract with them under their law, and their law is not consonant with our law, natural justice. The issue of offer and acceptance is covered in the Uniform Commercial Code. The problem with the Uniform Commercial Code is it favors the banker. It favors the bankster. It favors the lender. It favors the mortgage servicer. The Wall Street Consumer Protection and Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, the Dodd-Frank Act, is a nice piece of legislation. But when you sue a bank, chances are you may lose. Well, Jesse Noski was lucky because he made trouble at the right time. Most of you are coming after you've lost your home for more than 5 years. So we are able to regurgitate, resuscitate, rejuvenate the claim under ecclesiastical and tribal law. And it works because of 28 U.S.C. section 1738, which says the tribal court judgments are entitled to full faith and credit. So choose ye today whom thou shalt serve. Do you want to do Uniform Commercial Code, or do you want to do tribal law or ecclesiastical law? I got no time for the Uniform Commercial Code, but I put it out there. Tribal law is based on natural law. Tribal law is based on God's law. Tribal law is based on he who came first in point of time owns good title. Tribal law is in compliance with Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. It says, you shall not sell this land because you are aliens and strangers upon it. This earth, this land, everything belongs to God. This is why tribal governments, tribal communities all over the world did not believe in private property. It was communal property, property held commonly by all people, because they realized, without even knowing the Bible, that this is not theirs to own forever, because they are mere mortals. This is why in some parts of the world they have 99-year leases, 999-year leases, qualified title, preferred title. And freehold title. You cannot possibly be legally, lawfully, legitimately owning property, especially land, because it will consume you. When you die, you go into the land. When the land dies, it doesn't go into you. So that's something that you must understand about tribal law. Uniform Commercial Code, the Vienna Convention, the Restatement of Contracts. Well, they are nice to quote, but they have no standing in tribal law or ecclesiastical law. This is why, folks, I keep saying, let's leave their jurisdiction and do our own thing. When we have our own law system, which we have, and we have our own police power, then we would have reached a point of no return, because then we are totally out of their jurisdiction, although we are living with them in their so-called county. But remember, if you're going to invoke tribal law, 1151, 18 U.S.C. 1151, if title has not been extinguished by Congress, you're still in Indian country. So it's a win-win situation there. You simply cannot lose. You simply cannot be on the losing end of an argument that this is Indian country. I know you will turn around and say, yeah, but they won't listen to us. They won't listen to us because we have no police power. Now, if we started arresting a few of them and CNN or Fox News makes a big hoo-ha about it, then they will recognize and respect who we are. But we are not there yet. We've never been there yet because we never bothered about invoking police power. We did nothing. We just gave up and said, how do I escape their jurisdiction? When I say leave their jurisdiction, I mean set up a system where they will want to leave our jurisdiction. This is still Indian country. Always been Indian country. Check with your local county tax assessor. He'll never be able to answer the question as to when Indian title was extinguished by a specific act of Congress. They'll never be able to prove it. So, what are we looking at?
Win-win situation.
Say again?
If they can't prove it, they have no action. They can't proceed forward with taking any property.
Well, all that is fine and dandy, but we still don't have police power. The only way we're going to be effective is if when we stop arresting them under tribal law and ecclesiastical law, protected by federal law. I'm not talking about a pie in the sky. I'm talking about a law that they made. They signed a treaty with us, 250 treaties or more. I mean, 250 tribes. There were more than 6,000 treaties signed. The Cherokees alone have 37 treaties with state and federal governments and with the British government. Hawaii has 37 treaties with European countries, China and Japan. I told the king, let's send out a letter rejuvenating, regurgitating, resuscitating those treaties. And I wrote out that letter and I don't know whether he sent it out. So, in essence, folks, we can really get somewhere if we have police power. Okay? What we need to do about police... Okay, here's a question. So if tribal law says there's no such thing as private property and we have purchased our home through the UCC, you could pay for them under old law, do we have standing if we have an issue with the lender of title? Absolutely. This is why, Sandy, we are telling people to send out the letter to the county assessor. My APN number is this. My legal description is this. My address is this. Can you tell me when Indian title to this piece of property is extinguished? Sometimes this idiot will come back and tell you to check with the historical department, which means what? What does it mean when they tell you to check with the historical department after you wrote to them and asked them to show proof as to when Indian title was extinguished. What does that tell you? Talk to me.
They don't have what they need, and they're going to go put you in a wild goose chase.
No, they have no evidence. They have no proof. They question. They cannot show you when Indian title was extinguished. That's when they tell you, oh, go and check with the historical society. No, stupid. I asked you. You are collecting property taxes. You should be in a position as the homeowner to demand all your property taxes back. So if they don't know, that means they have no proof or evidence as to when Indian title was extinguished. So what do? Keep paying the property tax? No, you don't. And then what happens? They're gonna come and evict you? The sheriff will come and tell you when he's going to come and evict you? Have 100 people ready to arrest the sheriff? Case closed. Ah, but we don't even have 10 people who signed up, Judge. Okay, not my problem. I'm telling you what to do. If nobody wants to do it, what am I going to do? Take a bullwhip and whip people into compliance? I can't do that. You want to be free? I'm showing you how to be free. You want to enjoy liberty? I'm showing you. We don't even have 500 people signed up. In fact, the other day, Paul was telling me people were in shock. What? What? I can be free? I'm not free? Oh, my God. I mean, how do you talk to these kind of people? So we have a system. We have the law behind us. We have the structure behind us. We have the ordainment, the establishment, the law, everything behind us, the knowledge, everything we have. But we don't have people. 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 Or do we have sheeple ready for the slaughterhouse? I quit being a sheeple long time ago. Got to do something, folks. We have to do something. And there is no better time than now. The way I spell no is N-O-W. That's a way to spell no. Now. Do it now. Some want to be compensated for their time. Thank you. Yes. Of course they need to be compensated. Some months ago, Tom will bear witness to this. We talked about offering tribal protection, tax exemption, tribal membership, $65 a month, provided we have 10,000 people signed up. We had all of one fella sign up. How are you going to compensate them? I've even told people, put aside $1 a day. $1, just $1. One time, $1. Get a million people to put $1 aside. Then some smart aleck came and said, what if I want to put five? Well, put 5 cents, $5, who cares? The idea is to put it in one bank account and then multiply it. Nothing has happened. So how do we compensate people for their time when nobody is signing up? Where do we get the money to sign up? Oh, Tom, the letter to the AIIB, this is Naveen Chandra Naidu speaking,
Yes. Just
in case people wonder who said that.
Okay.
The AIIB letter that you sent out, could you please send me a copy of the proof of mailing? Because somebody called me from China.
Okay.
And I said, I don't have proof of service, so send it to me right away, bro.
Okay. I'll go through my things tomorrow.
Okay.
Right.
So there we go, folks. We are still talking about police power. All of these law classes, all of this tribal government fight, all of this will be totally wasted without police power. You know, if we had motivated people signing up and then waiting to be compensated later on, when we have enough people signing up and joining up, I mean, you want to be compensated for the very liberty that you believe in? Okay, that's fine. But where are we going to get the money to do it when we don't have numbers signing up, even at $65 a month?
Where's that information, Doctor? This is the first time I'm hearing
you. You just heard it. You just heard it from me.
Good.
The information came from my brain. You just heard it from me.
All right. Thank
okay?
you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of putting everything in print because nobody does anything anyway. I'm just telling you, like I told a lot of people, several months ago, we came up with this brainwave. Price down, people will join. And they say, yeah. One fellow signed up. And then he wanted to know why I'm not doing anything. And he called me a scammer and all of this because I took his money. I told him, no, I didn't take your money. You haven't even wired your money, you idiot. And I did tell you we need 10,000 before we can offer you this service. And that's the last I heard from him. So, what do we do, folks? What do we do? This is not the voice of a desperate man. This is the voice of a man who desperately needs people to sign up. Why are you signing up? Not just to be compensated, so that you can carry liberty and freedom to a new level. It's for you to be free. Now, we need to get people in California, we need to get people in all the 50 states to pass this word and to get the... you remember, Tom, when I was with Cosmic Voice, we set up, we asked and there were about 150 people who applied. Do you remember that?
No, actually, I wasn't on Cosmic Voice at the time, but I did hear about it later.
Yeah, and that kind of fizzled away. I don't know what happened. Nobody. I mean, a lot of people applied, and but it got nowhere. And then someone said he will be in charge of training them. Drake said he'll, you know, to contact him and. I don't know whatever happened to that. And apparently they have the militia ready. I haven't heard nothing and nothing. You know, it's just there. It's up in the air somewhere. So let's pay attention to the tasks at hand and the problems at hand because we need to do something, folks. We cannot be taking this lying down anymore. We need to be really proactive about this. All right? So New Jersey, Jason, you can start. Ohio, Tom, you can start. California, we have quite a few people. Birdman is in Alaska, right?
Right.
Aiden, are you there? He's in Minneapolis. I mean, I think he's in Minnesota. Aiden, are you online today? Looks like he's not. You, Dane, are you there? They're not there too.
Dr. Jason, I noticed. I was looking at the website. You had something on Constitution Police. Is that being developed by Paul, I presume?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And we can use that as our
as our ad page or whatever information we want to do, because again, we're at a disadvantage because apathy is the winning agent. That's a point to the comment. Napoleon Hill said that when a man from the respective agent who is an anti-devil is fearless, thinks for himself, and acts in his own. Well, I just defined the government's lone wolf situation. So I'm just making an editorial. I apologize.
Okay. Any questions, folks?
Yes, I have a question, Judge. Back when we discussed explicit law or implicit contract or implicit contract with the Constitution, I felt it was explicit, but I hesitated because I heard the argument that the Constitution really doesn't apply to anybody. It only applies to the 67 people who signed it. I guess the question is, can 67 people sign a contract, or is it considered a contract or some other kind of explicit contract?
It's supposed to be we the people.
Right.
We the people.
Okay.
As represented by a Republican form of government,
right.
We chose a couple of representatives, 55 or 60, I think 55 signed it.
Okay.
That these 55 represented the will of the people. So
right.
It cannot be an implied contract because we expressly wanted to ordain a constitution.
Okay. But I do hear that argument every once in a while. Yes, I agree.
No, because
explicit.
No, the Bill of Rights is 1,000% an expression
yes.
of an express contract. There's nothing implied there.
True. Yes.
Like, for example, I tell you what an implied contract is. Folks, listen very carefully. For those of you who talked about implied, who think it's an implied contract, you go and park your car and it says no parking except on Sundays. What does that tell you?
You can't park there except on Sunday.
And you don't park there anyway. You enter into a contract. So you can't break that law. You got to keep the law.
If you don't park there, you've accepted their contract.
No. Let's not talk about the contract for now. Well, I'm just saying, I'm trying to explain the meaning of the word implied.
Okay.
It's a parking.
Pay. Hold on a minute. Parking on Sundays only. What does that tell you?
Well, you can't. Jason, you can't park there. You can only park there on Sunday. The other days of the week, you're screwed.
That's right. You can't park on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, I had to turn off the alphabet. She had noise in the background.
Yeah, no, I had a phone call coming in. Okay, so parking on Sundays literally means you can only park there on Sundays, not Saturdays, not Fridays, not Thursdays, Wednesdays, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now, is that an implied thing or an express thing?
It's implied.
Why? Why is it implied?
Because it's not a legitimate thing.
It's their laws telling you what to do.
No. Forget about law, their law. I'm just giving you an example. Parking on Sundays only is an express statement that you cannot park on any other day but on Monday.
Right.
Okay, the implication is not required. Now, for example, Hyde Park. I raised this issue many, many years ago. No vehicular traffic allowed. That means no fire engines, no ambulances, so don't have a heart attack in Hyde Park and don't have a fire because vehicular traffic not allowed in the park. You see? So this thing about implied and express is literally a thin ice situation. You know, damned if I did, damned if I did, one of those. But as far as the Bill of Rights is concerned, as far as the Constitution is concerned, it's very clear. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, they just did not want a perfect union, they wanted a more perfect union. So it's we the people who need to create, to get proactive and creative about being more than merely walking around as zombie citizens and be real denizens of Indian country. All right, folks, any other questions?
Jason here. I understand, like, I'm a little lost. I understand you have another website, and I can't find it where you guys post your stuff.
What are you looking for, Jason?
No, I'm just looking for the website where you put your questions. I just want to know where to go.
I think we've discussed this a million times. It's tribal law.
Oh, yeah, I'm in tribal law. I'm just saying, when you put your questions...
Yeah, so what is it you're looking... Well, I mean, what is your specific question?
Well, I don't have a specific question. I just want to try... there is a... You, when you're posting a question to you, is it tribal law, tribal law.tk, or is it another tribal law site?
There's a tribal law Skype group. But you can go to the... You can go to the Contact Us page on the tribal law.tk site, and it will show you how to join Facebook. Someone's got noise going on in the background. It will show you how to join this Facebook group, the Skype group, and the questions we're being asked of are being... people are chatting on the tribal law Skype group during this call, and that's where the judge is picking up some of the questions.
Okay, thank you there, Tom. I appreciate it. I'm sorry. I do apologize for my ignorance.
You have to be specific.
What, being ignorant or?
And what you want.
All right, thank you.
Judge Nadeau, I just wanted to say, you know, I basically joined the tribal police because I'm really fed up with the situation.
Well,
but if this doesn't get off the ground, I have the tools, because if nobody wants to do it, I got the tools to take care of business. If nobody wants to take care of business, I can.
Yeah, we have to make sure that, though, through the Polson County Assembly, we are in touch with Paul Murray.
Like I said, if nobody wants to do it, I got the tools.
Okay.
And you see what I got, which makes...
All right, folks. Thank you all very much. And the tools, I think that was Ray, Shirley. I think, Ray, you got to get with Shirley and...
Paul
Murray.
We will do that.
Like I said, Judge, I'm on your side. I've always been on this side. I don't consent to their terrorism being waged on me. or wage than my fellow human being. I am one pissed off motherfucker. I'm sorry to say that, because I'm over it. So if people don't want to join in, they better remember that there's people out here that are willing to sacrifice themselves.
Hey, let's keep the language parliamentary, please. Let's keep the language parliamentary, please.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah.
Sir. But like I told you at the beginning, I'm willing to put my life on the line without pay.
I know. I know. But like I said, we need, I don't know what it will take. Paul made an interesting comment, Paul Murray, that the people he's been talking to were kind of amazed that there was such a thing called freedom and liberty, this, and they were kind of what? So I told him maybe you should be talking to a different group of people, you know. So let's gather together as often as we can.
Okay.
Okay, Judge.
Yeah, we can hear you, Shirley.
I'm great. My name is Shirley. Can you give us a call at the 1-844-POLICE-9?
Yes, we'll call you.
Yes, we'll call you.
Okay,
I promise that.
Okay. Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome.
Point information, or has anyone gotten, last Friday we started on our trying to get our Union Bank dollar per person. Is that still working on it? Because I'd like to be on that committee.
That gentleman that was talking about that last week, I don't have his name in my head now, but this is Shirley. I was looking at a bank that I'm going to contact tomorrow, but I don't have any information on that as of today.
All right. Well, that's good. I don't want to. I just want to be one person being the leader, because we're all doing it at the same time. It's just a juggling act that's falling apart.
Good morning. Yeah.
Okay. There's a question for the judge.
Okay, I just ended that class. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the class or other classes or about the future? Go ahead and press 1. Anybody still awake? Is everybody asleep? Well, in that case, I'll go ahead and end this episode and see you all tomorrow. Thank you for coming.